Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't think we are putting Amazon over players' interests. We've always been looking at the data with respect to injuries and the impact on players. That was drove our decisions throughout the first 12 or so years of Thursday Night Football.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Eugene Hopkins, the opportunity there. He's got it again. Here's McDavid down low. Connor McDavid, the feed in front, they score! Zach Hyman! Power play is 3-for-3 for Edmonton.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
So I just wanted to get us fired up, and once the foul happened, they start talking. Like, it's a hard foul, but it's not dirty. He doesn't jump or anything. I called him on before I hit him with a shoulder. So once they start talking, then they gave me an in to kind of get us fired up.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Happy hump day, everybody. How we doing? How we feeling?
What is happening?
Good Wednesday to everybody out there.
Happy Wednesday, buddy. Happy hump day.
It is a hump day. I heard that Draymond clip, and look, I think Draymond Green is been pretty great in Golden State, but I heard his post-game interview, and then you hear that in the press conference. And sometimes I just, I kind of roll my eyes at him because he obviously means a great deal to their success.
Sure.
But like CJ talking mess, I don't like, because I watched that game last night. I don't know if you did.
They came back and won, right? Beat the Pelicans.
They were getting handled pretty well in the first half. They were down double digits. People were like, oh, this might be their season. Even though the West Conference is awful this year, nobody's truly out of it.
No.
And I'm listening to his post game, and he does this all the time when he talks. He goes, you know, they're talking, so we had to respond. You know, they brought it out of us. And as a guy who's watched a lot of Golden State basketball, the box score usually indicates that Steph Curry made 7 to 9 threes in the game and scored 35 to 40 points,
right,
much like he did last night, where he just got in fuego, couldn't miss. Klay hits a big three, caps it off. They win the game. And then Draymond's the one going, you know, they riled us up. They got us going. And I'm just like, but you didn't shoot any of those shots.
No, you didn't.
You didn't make any of those 3 points. He would probably say, oh, who's setting the screen? Who's leading the offense?
He's dropping dimes to guys to shoot 3-pointers.
I'd be like, go do that in Charlotte and you tell me if you guys end up winning. Ask Pat Beverly what it's like to play on crappy teams and be the barking guy. And I'm not saying Draymond isn't good and Draymond hasn't had an impact, but I sometimes roll my eyes listening to him in the post game. It's like Steph Curry, for some reason, wasn't interviewed because Draymond gets the tech. Draymond gets in like multiple altercations last night.
Yeah, he was fighting the entire game.
He should have been ejected like 3 times. That's another thing. I'm just tired of watching him be officiated differently than every single player in the entire league.
He's allowed to yell, scream, do whatever the hell he wants on the floor.
Yeah, and it is annoying. Somebody said it last night on Twitter and said, you know, I don't really care about the fine, the ejections, what comes with it. At some point, somebody needs to check this dude in the jaw. They just need to let him know, like, shut up. Just shut up.
Just stop it, please.
Because I'm not saying he can't fight either. He probably can fight. He's crazy.
Well, we saw him punch Jordan Poole to start the season. That's how the NBA year began.
That's true.
Him sucker punching Jordan Poole below the hoop.
But I watched that game last night. I'm like, Steph can't miss. Steph is on fire, hitting deep threes, getting the crowd going crazy. It ain't Draymond Green hitting shots out there. And Draymond's in the post game. They got us going. And I'm just like, you didn't shoot the basketball.
Yeah, they outscored him by, I think, 30 in the second half. Curry went for 40.
The third quarter was their big quarter.
Yeah, they exploded in the third. It was actually a live bet that I made because I saw at the end of the first. I know that New Orleans is not great without Zion, and they've had a really rough run. And I saw that they were up by 11 at the end of the first quarter, and so I jumped on and put a money line bet on the Warriors. They're at home. They're a good home team. They should probably come back and win this. I didn't think they'd come back and win by 11 at that point in the game. He's like the Flava Flav of Golden State. He's the hype man. He's out there in the front. He's got the clock on. People can picture him when they think of that team. But when it comes to the actual artwork, when it comes to the actual music, that's Chuck D. You know, there are other people that are more important to the success of the group than the guy that's yelling into the microphone at the start of the concert, getting the crowd hyped up and getting everybody all riled up.
Right.
There are more important factors to their success. He is one of those guys. Now, this being said, like, I would, if he came to Portland, obviously not on the contract that he's going to want, because he's going to be overpaid if he goes anywhere else. He's the kind of guy, though, you would like to have on your team as long as it's an affordable deal. But part of me has always wanted to see him play for a crappy franchise, because for the 2-3 year window there that Klay Thompson couldn't stay healthy and Steph Curry was out, what did Golden State do? Draymond was out there. He was playing most nights. He did nothing. We didn't hear from him. They got the number one overall pick in the draft. Like, they were terrible. Mm-hmm. And then those guys come back, and now they won a championship, and they're good again this year.
I don't think I want him.
You don't think you want him? What if it's like a, how much is he making right now?
Oh, he's
making good coin.
He's a $100 million contract right now, and he's going to want close to another $100 million contract. I don't think he'll get that.
No chance. Who's going to give him that?
Do you want to give him 70? Do you want to give him 80?
No.
Because that's what he's looking to get.
Can I give him the Yusuf Nurkic contract? Can I give him that? I'd give him that deal.
If you get rid of Yusuf Nurkic, sure.
I think I'd give him that contract.
You'd give him the Yusuf Nurkic contract?
I would much rather have him than Yusuf Nurkic.
I don't know how that would, well, you'd have to play small ball five. You'd have to basically, because that'd be the only way to make it work with Jeremy.
Yeah, he's got a player option next year. He's making 25.8 this year. Yeah. Next year, 27.5.
It was like a 4-year, $100 million deal, I think.
Oof.
So, yeah, that last night, that bothered me. How are you guys doing? I'm the one yapping around and starting the show.
You're all fired up today about Draymond Green.
Sometimes athletes, they get that out of you, don't they?
I'm very nervous about the Dodger pitching staff.
Oh, Jesus.
Opening day tomorrow, baby.
Yep.
You're already nervous, huh?
Really nervous about the Dodger pitching staff.
You are, honest to God, you are my least favorite baseball fan in my entire existence. Anytime you talk about baseball, I'm rolling my eyes before I even know what you say. Oh, I'm nervous about my team's $1 billion payroll. Oh, I'm nervous that we might win only 98 games.
Should have spent more on the pitching staff, man.
Should have spent more on the pitching staff.
Why didn't they go sign another starting pitcher? What the hell are they doing?
It is the that's the most Lake Oswego thing you do, is bitch and moan about your Dodgers not being good enough, despite them having the best payroll and winning like 100 games every year.
Isn't that the beauty of baseball? That's what I love most about the sport.
It's the 14 they got to win in October that I'm most concerned about.
You guys haven't won a real World Series since 88. I get it. You're nervous. But, man, you're there every year.
They need one to validate. They need one to validate
like
this run.
Third best odds in Major League Baseball. It's like the Yankees. Or no, it's the Astros. It's the Braves. Yeah. It's the Dodgers. You see me going, you know what I'm worried about? I'm really worried about that back-end bullpen rotation to the Atlanta Braves. My team's good.
You know what you got, though? You got a real World Series.
We do got a
real World Series. You got a real one 2 years ago, and so the monkey's off your back a little bit. There's not quite as much heat on you going into the year. Even if you guys get to the NLCS this year, you fall short, you're going to be disappointed, but guess what? You just won a World Series 2 years ago.
I was going to bring up baseball today, too.
I mean, how do you not? It's opening day tomorrow.
I know.
We got to make our season predictions.
What's the first game on television? I haven't even looked at the schedule.
The MLB Network actually has the Giants at the Yankees at 10 a.m.
The Battle of
New
York.
That's the first national televised game?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, Braves and Nationals also at 10 a.m. Does not look like it's on national TV.
Nobody wants to watch the Nationals this year.
No, they don't.
Yeah, but people might want to watch that other team, you know what I mean?
You got some ESPN Plus games going on tomorrow.
There's not one on ESPN.
ESPN has
White
one
Sox,
in the afternoon.
Astros at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's the Astros the ringing game? Another damn banner.
That's the only game that they have tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
Wait. White Sox Astros is not only their only game, it's the first game.
Well, that's the first ESPN game. MLB Network's got a few other ones.
They got a few going on throughout the day.
What happened to opening day being on ESPN from like 9 a.m.?
Yeah, I know.
To the end of the day. Didn't they used to do that on ESPN? Am I wrong?
They used to.
Well, we used to have the night before game, which was stupid.
I hated that.
Because well, it was opening day, but not opening day for everybody else.
That's when they opened the thing on Monday. Yeah. I think the problem with ESPN is when they moved, when they shifted things back to the Thursday start the last couple of years. ESPN's got all their crews, you know, they do the women's Final Four, so they got half the damn state, half the network is in Dallas where they are. They got crews in Houston. I just don't think personnel-wise that and Disney started their layoffs of 8 bajillion people today or yesterday. So
I mean, let's also be honest, too, on opening day, you're not watching a lot of national games. You're watching your team. You're excited to see your team. You're going to watch your team play, and then that's probably.
So I think MLB Network will have two or three games, and then they can't air something during ESPN's window. That's their deal. So
Astros White Sox though, why was that the game?
Well, you got Astros. You got to do the defending champs.
Defending
that's
World
usually
Series
the thing
champs,
you do. That let them hang their banner and have their ceremony and stuff.
Why would you not open against the Mariners? Like. A fun story that people care about.
You think, right?
The White Sox?
Or, you know, hey, who's the starting pitcher on opening day for the Angels? It's a little guy named Shohei Ohtani. Like, why don't we throw that bad boy in there? Ohtani versus...
It's a little guy?
A little guy.
I think that's on MLB Network. I think that's a 7 p.m. game. They got the A's.
Yeah,
so.
The Angels and A's. Catch that fever with 47 people in attendance.
Yeah.
What? That's the other game on MLB Network? The A's?
I got to scroll through. I'll scroll through the entire MLB calendar and see what's going on tomorrow.
But we found out, I haven't seen anything. I haven't been on social media as much. Have we seen anybody that's been laid off that we of note?
At ESPN?
Yeah.
Not, I have not. They're
not yet. I don't know. Layoffs. Like Disney announced the first of like 7,000 layoffs company-wide. I don't know how much of that gets back to ESPN.
I am wondering because they said nobody's untouchable. I'm like, come on.
I like that Stephen A. Smith was like, even I could be fired.
You're not firing Stephen A. Smith. You're not firing Mina. Like, they're trying to sign Mina Kimes. Yeah, that's another part because she's going to get paid.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, the big names are not getting turfed over there.
You and I were excited about our contract year. Could you imagine what it's like to be Mina Kimes?
Having 17 different institutions bidding for the rights for you to cover the NFL for them?
It's not just that they're going to be bidding. It's going to be the fact that they are going to all throw their biggest possible bag at her.
As they should. She's an incredible talent,
she
man.
She really is. Like, it was that Jason Whitlock thing was really dumb. That dude's literally a professional grifter now because nobody will hire him and nobody cares about his awful old man takes. Right. And he's out here going at Mina Kimes, who's like the face of football on ESPN now.
Not crying victim at all. I just jokingly changed my Twitter picture for like 2 days and it was kind of funny.
Everybody got funny.
Everybody got a good chuckle out of it.
What do you think she's going to get? And where do you think she should go? I know this is a very random opening segment, but you guys look like you're in different worlds right now. I couldn't really assess how we were doing mentally on the
show.
I'm
still finishing up a statter story here. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to find what games are going on the MLB Network tomorrow.
You're still looking up the baseball schedule.
Yeah, I'm trying to
find
that.
Games you're not going to watch?
Yeah, probably not going to watch.
Are you getting the...
You got Phillies and Rangers or Mets and Marlins is your afternoon game.
Is that at the Rangers' new ballpark?
I believe so, yeah.
I am curious to see that track. I don't know.
Well, it's been open for a couple of years
that's
now.
Where the Dodgers won their
that's where the Dodgers won the fake World Series. Remember, they had all the games in Texas.
Oh, that was the new ballpark?
That's their new ballpark.
Oh, you're right, because Arlington, the other one, was outdoors. I guess that's true.
And that was one of the stadiums that was built that was totally unnecessary.
I'm not really that impressed by it now that you're saying it, because I've seen it and it's like, oh, it's run-of-the-mill stadium. Cool. Okay.
It's got a roof on it. You want to keep people cool in Texas, I guess. Yeah, that's your afternoon game, and then your night game is Angels and A's or Guardians and Mariners. There you go. There's your baseball schedule.
Because if you think about it, her podcast is really popular that she does with her dog. But can you match on any other platform? Can you guys think of, because there's rumors Lebatard's company wants to get her, and she's really friendly with them. There's rumors that Simmons' company wants to get her. There's obviously the NFL Network's probably going to make a bid. CBS, Fox. Can you think, though, for her career, and like being seen. Is there something that you can top NFL Live with?
I don't think so.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering is she just going to re-up with ESPN because they're going to pay the most or they'll pay as much as anybody else? And you can't match that, what am I trying to
the
say?
Exposure.
The exposure that comes with it. You can't match what NFL Live is. Like, I don't think people tune in as consistently to the NFL Network equivalent in that day part.
I think the only thing that would top it potentially would be game day exposure on NFL channels. So, like, if you went to do a Fox thing or a CBS.
But she has
it
on ESPN on
Sundays. She does. On Sundays, they have their kickoff show. I don't watch a ton of it in the morning. And they do have Monday Night Football. I don't know how incorporated she is with Monday Night Football coverage. I don't.
She's not. She's not on the pregame.
Yeah, you got, like, Susie and Steve Young and Booger and, RG3 are down there on the field. So that would be the only thing that I could think of that would up her profile. Because so many people watch NFL games on network television. Like, you're getting 20-plus million people on a weekend basis to watch one of those like 1 o'clock games on Fox, and that has to be bigger than the audience of NFL Live. But when it comes to day in and day out exposure, nobody has ever sniffed the impact that ESPN has had. Not even close.
No, not for what she does.
I just think sports in general, like we've seen a million different, like FS1, all these different channels have tried to start up and cut into their.
But if you do podcasts, you can beat ESPN.
Podcasts, yes.
If you're doing podcasts.
Podcasts, you can go anywhere you want. But if you want the exposure on television, there's nothing outside of a game day audience on Fox or CBS. You're not getting more eyeballs.
You know how we do the referee during like big NFL games, Monday Night Football? Let's go to so-and-so.
Gene Steratore. What do you think about? I didn't know Gene Steratore is a basketball guy too, popping up during my basketball game.
Yeah, he's
done
Final Fours. Okay. Same with Bill Vinovich. Vinovich is still actually officiating NCAA games.
How about that?
Did Steratore do college basketball?
Yeah.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had no clue.
No
I just
idea.
Saw him popping up and I thought, is CBS that cheap? They just don't want to pay for a basketball rules analyst too?
I would sign her and I would actually get rid of the rules person. I've come to find that is the most useless position in sports is that we, because what does the official usually do? Sides with the officiating. They never offer us the opposite opinion.
Yeah, Jim, that looks like a fumble to me.
I think this is a good call, and I think it's going to stand. Okay, thank you. I would actually cut it, and I'd put her in the booth, and you do, like, analytical check-ins with her, like, 3 or 4 times in a game.
What are they not doing? What should they be doing?
Mina, what are you seeing right now from whatever standpoint? And she gives us, you know how they do the Jezzer on the Blazer games?
Yeah, the analytical view.
I think you do that with, because I think Mina Kimes is better than Corey Jez, hot take. I think you do that with her on Monday Night Football. That'd be part of what I would offer her in a contract.
I'd be all for that.
I think it'd be great.
They had a lot of drama on Monday Night Football last year. They had to fire a bunch of producers. Troy Aikman wasn't happy with what was being done behind the scenes, reportedly.
Aikman wasn't happy?
He was disgruntled. He did not like the crew. Didn't like the way they handled things.
What'd they screw up?
I think it was communication things or not having the right equipment. He had a standard that was set for him at Fox, and he didn't feel like they followed it at ESPN.
Well, it's going to be a good day for us today. I can feel it in my bones. We got a good show. It's Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. And we got Kyle Boone's going to join us from CBS Sports. College basketball. Get his picks and his thoughts on the Final Four matchups. We'll talk a little Hoops. We'll talk a little NFL. We got some rule changes coming out yesterday. Thursday night football arguments to be had. And, of course, Statter Story at 8:15. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm going to ask you this as I look up on ESPN this morning and I see the same two stories that I've been seeing for over a month. And we've been diving into this as a show, probably not as much as a network like ESPN has. But I'll ask you. What are you already more annoyed with? The Ooh. Aaron Rodgers Jets trade that's not happening?
That's a pretty good one.
Or Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' icy situation right now? What's already annoying to you?
That's a really good question. I would say for me it's got to be Aaron Rodgers.
Or is it neither? Like are you so interested in Rodgers leaving the Packers for the Jets and right. Is Lamar going to get paid? Is he going to sign to a new team? Is he playing on the tag? Will he stay healthy? Like is it neither?
I'm actually somewhat interested in the Lamar Jackson story. Now, to the point where it's talked about at a national level, no. It's overdone, but it's because we're in that time of year where there's not a lot going on, and they play the hits over and over and over again,
yeah.
Right? The Rodgers one is nauseating for me, and it has been. Like, I don't mind him taking his time to decide. It's his life. It's his career. Like, take as much time as you want. Go crawl into a hobbit hole and do a bunch of drugs. Like, whatever, buddy. Whatever floats your boat.
Mm-hmm.
The over coverage of it is what does drive me crazy. And now we know, like, he's going to get traded to the Jets. It's going to happen. But now we have to do segments on who has more leverage and what do they have to give up and the impact. Like, we'll get there. He's going to be a Jet at some point. We can talk about it when it happens. To me, there are like meaningful updates that come out on a near daily basis on Lamar Jackson. Like just yesterday, you had Ron Rivera, who is the head coach for, you could argue, pretty easily the worst organization in the NFL over the last 10 years. Washington has been irrelevant. They've ran good coaches out. Their stadium is crumbling. They were rated by their players the worst, like F- in every major category. Their owner is legitimately a criminal and probably should be in jail. Like everything about the Washington Commanders sucks, but. And Ron Rivera, their head coach yesterday, came out and said, nah, not really. Nah, not really for us. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's not for us. Mm-hmm. We feel like Sam Howell can be Brock Purdy. That was this legitimate
line.
Yeah,
I saw that quote and I rolled my eyes and I go, you really think you're just getting a seventh round type kid and you're going to roll off 8 straight wins and get to an NFC championship game? Like, I see that,
and then it like pulls me back into the story. Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons,
I saw that one too.
Who aggressively went after Deshaun Watson last year, said there's a difference between Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. Like, yeah, one of them's not a serial predator. Like, that's facing 30 different lawsuits. There is a major difference. One of them's won an MVP.
You have to remember, though, I guess Rivera would be different here, but, like, you got to remember when you hear some of these owners talk or give their thoughts on things, you have to remember they're billionaires. And you know what they've always said? You become a billionaire because you become a horrible person. You don't meet the nicest guy in the world that becomes a billionaire.
That's true.
Just, you know, randomly. So you have to kind of remind yourself that. I also saw Ursay basically say, it's going to cost us a lot. Not that money's a problem, but the 2 first-round picks. And I'm like, but can he make your team better?
Didn't you trade 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz?
I think... I tend to lean it's more Jets-Rodgers because that's going to get done.
We know it's going to happen. We know the outcome.
ESPN's talking about it today, and they're always trying to find a new way to put a headline up so they can keep talking about it. And today's is, should there be concern that there's not been a deal done yet?
No,
it's like, no, the Packers have said they don't want him. Like, LaFleur was asked 2 days ago at the owners' meeting. LaFleur was asked, would you start him? If he came back.
Like if he showed up day one training camp, trade doesn't happen, I'm walking in the door.
And the head coach of the team said, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens, but, yeah, we try to play the best players that are on our roster. He wouldn't even just be like, yeah, hell yeah, we'd welcome him. They're done with him. They don't want him there.
They're ready to move. They got to see what they have in Jordan Love. They use a first-round pick on him.
And he's also done with them. So this is just about, like, hey, what kind of pick protections or what kind of, you know, picks can you give us with stipulations attached, it'll get done. The Lamar one is, I just, at this point, based on production and win-loss result, you got to admit, it's getting really weird. You can't tell me Washington is in a position where they go, I think we like the kid from North Carolina that we took in the fourth round.
Nah, we're good. Sam Howell's our dude.
You can't tell me the Colts. Maybe the Colts love a prospect and they'll draft somebody. But you can't tell me the Colts should just be scoffing at this. You cannot tell me in good conscience the Atlanta Falcons shouldn't be kicking around this idea of going after him. The Patriots, for God's sakes, there's a report that they're not interested. He's interested in them. They're not interested in him. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not going to go to a certain segment, but there is a part of me that agrees with some of the narratives that have come out from this story of, I can't explain why a player who may not be top five to most people, but is certainly top 10 at his position
and well-respected in the league,
is not being coveted. It's not just a he's not healthy thing. We look past that crap with all kinds of players. There's something more there, and I don't know what it is, but it's really weird.
It's one thing if you call and you talk to him or, you know, have a conversation, because you can negotiate with Lamar Jackson right now. He's on the tag. It's not an exclusive tag. So you can call and negotiate with him. And if you called and said, hey, if he says, I'm not going to sign for anything less than $250 million fully guaranteed, and you want to say, all right, that's not for us, and you want to come out and say that, like, hey, we talked to him and it didn't work out for us, and can't make a partnership happen, like, okay, that's fine. You move on. But the notion that so many teams are just saying, like, nah, we don't really even want to try. We don't even want to have the conversation about it. That's the part that's been weird. Like, I understand fully the dilemma of giving a mobile quarterback who uses his legs a $200 million fully guaranteed contract. But as far as we know, these are just things that are reported that he wants X or he's only going to sign for this, and anything less than that, he refuses to accept. Like, these are all just reports that are floated out there, probably by the Ravens to try and make themselves look good in the negotiation. And so if I'm an NFL team, how often do you have the opportunity to get a MVP caliber quarterback, which he is because he won one, in the prime of their careers? Like, these guys don't, it just, this doesn't happen. Peyton Manning was late in his career. Russell Wilson, late in his career. Rodgers has maybe 1 year left. Like, Brady was at the end with only a couple years left. Like, these guys don't just bounce around teams when you're talking the truly elite quarterbacks in the NFL. They don't bounce around when they're 25, 26, 27 years old. You can get them maybe when they're 32, 33, 34 after that second contract.
Right.
This is an outlier in NFL history to a certain extent, and there's nobody that's, like, trying to pounce on it. We get crazy trades just to move up two spots in the NFL. The 49ers traded three first-round picks, basically, to move up and draft Trey Lance, but teams aren't willing to give that up for Lamar Jackson.
Well, I got one more player I want to bring up, not in an annoyance category, but somebody that's interesting to me to watch this off season, and something that you said there stuck out to me, so I want to tell you what that is. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll get to some more NFL stuff. I got an NBA note I want to get to, and Kyle Boone of CBS Sports is going to join us at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Final Four. He's got a couple pieces up at CBSSports.com, and so we'll talk with Kyle Boone about what he makes of the Final Four. All of that is ahead.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, Dirt, you noted in the last segment, welcome back in, by the way, Dirt and Sprague with you. You noted in the last segment, Dirt, like what these teams are saying publicly and the leaks that are coming out about teams' stances on Lamar Jackson and whether they're going to go after him. And if you look at the quarterbacks that were named, Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell, and, you know, we don't know what the Colts are ultimately going to do. Is it just as simple as saying teams are going way over the other way at quarterback now, where unless you get a Mahomes or an Allen, most of this league doesn't want to pay these quarterbacks, and so they're willing to risk it for the rookie quarterback biscuit?
They might be. That could be the new trend in the NFL. I would argue some of the guys that got paid last offseason, their teams probably should have done that. Kyler Murray is a prime example of this in Arizona. We were screaming from the rooftop last year, like, why would you give him that contract? It doesn't make sense. He's done nothing to earn it. Just because he's eligible for an extension, make him play another year. And if they would have made him play another year and last year played out the way that it did, are you giving him a $200 million contract extension right now? Probably not. I'm probably forcing him to play on year five of the rookie deal. Let's see what you got next year. Can you stay healthy? Then if not, I'm franchise tagging you. Like, I'm not giving you that sizable contract. The only thing that I think makes this a complicated segment is that, or a complicated conversation, is that people have differing opinions on Lamar Jackson. Like, some people view Lamar Jackson in that light, that he's a guy that's not worth a big contract. Now, I go the opposite way. I think he's a tremendously talented quarterback. I think he is underrated as a passer in the NFL. And I give him credit for never having a truly elite number one wide receiver. A lot of these great young quarterbacks have had the ability to throw to absolute studs. He doesn't have a Justin Jefferson or a Ja'Marr Chase or some of these guys, like, you know, even in for the Chargers, a Keenan Allen, like Mike Williams. Like, these are all better targets than Lamar Jackson has ever had to throw to. And I think that's part of the calculation that I make. But I would argue, I would hope the rest of the NFL does do that. I just don't think Lamar should fall into that category. I think he is a true difference maker. Mm-hmm. And if I'm giving out contracts, he would be one of the guys I would give a contract to.
Well, but, we don't know where this is going to end up. He could play on the tag, but, like, I saw a report yesterday out of L.A. Los Angeles is going to give Justin Herbert a $200 million contract. That's mm-hmm. happening. The Chargers said yesterday, we're talking about an extension. And he's our guy. He's our quarterback. That's not surprising. That's not some revelation, but
no,
it is going to look. And Herbert, the upside is there, and they made a playoff push this year and came damn close to winning a playoff game. His stats speak for themselves. He's been great. And I don't mean this to come as some kind of knock, but, like, it's going to be odd when a non-division, non-MVP quarterback, even though he's still early in his career,
mm-hmm.
is going to get upwards of $200+ million guaranteed, while a league MVP, a division winner, a 46-19 record quarterback,
yeah.
is going to play on a franchise tag because he can't get that contract.
That's the dilemma.
It's, you know, and I get it. I get it from the Herbert standpoint. He should get paid. That should be your quarterback. It's going to look weird when Herbert gets the extension this summer and we find out Lamar's either playing on a tag or he had to be traded.
Yeah. And to move on from him. Or, I mean, maybe he follows through and he doesn't play this year. I don't buy that.
I don't either.
But one time a quarterback's going to put his money where his mouth is. Now, he's got to play in order to have the year accrued so he can get, you know, closer to free agency. There's all that kind of stuff. But, like, at some point, I would love to see one of these quarterbacks that just says no. I think that is the complicated part of this. Like, he's got an MVP, man. The mm-hmm. guy's won a playoff game. Those are two things that Justin Herbert has not done. Now, he's got two more years in the league under his belt. He didn't win his playoff game, I want to say, till his fourth year. Maybe it was his third year.
It's not even an argument. Like, I'm not trying to comp them. They're different players. They have different styles. It's just simply you get paid on what your production is. And yes, there's, you know what? In that sport, there's always risk. There's risk with guys who can't move.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me there's not risk for the Raiders bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo? If that offensive line is sketch, one hit, what's happened to Jimmy G?
I mean, Dak Prescott's not a mobile guy. They made him play on the franchise tag for a year, and he shattered his leg.
His ankle,
they gave him the contract anyways.
His ankle was the other way. He can't win a playoff game. You know, there's all that stuff that exists with so many players. And Herbert, I was wondering about this a year ago, and I'm wondering now, is he going to get the Deshaun contract, right? There's all these reports that the owners don't like that happened, and that should be the outlier, not the basis in which we give these quarterback contracts out. But, I mean, the Mahomes deal was large, and we're already at the point where they're looking to extend it again.
Yeah.
You got a quarterback, just pay the position. I know there's conversation about should they change the way the cap is used with quarterback money because teams are done. I know that exists. Maybe that'll happen down the road. But if you're just talking in a vacuum right now, here and now with this, why would Herbert not get 220, 215 guaranteed?
If not more than that, yeah. And nobody knows what that contract's going to look like. It is. I do think the NFL, for at least some of the second-tier guys, they have found a nice balance point. I look at two contracts that were given out this offseason with teams we didn't know what they were going to do. One was Seattle and Geno Smith. Made sense to bring him back. It was a team-friendly deal. If he plays well and they don't draft somebody and want to move on after 1 year, has a chance. I think it was a three-year deal or something like that.
Right.
But Seattle also in that contract has the ability to get out after 1 year and say, hey, thanks. If they end up drafting a guy or they find somebody else, hey, thanks, man. You made a decent amount of money for 1 year. We're moving on to the young guy, and that's the way we want to go. The Giants kind of did a very similar thing where they gave Daniel Jones a contract that you look at it on the surface and you're like, damn, they paid Daniel Jones that much money. Vanilla Vic is worth that much. I don't know if I fully buy it. And then you read into it and you're like, oh, they can get out after 2 years.
And it's not as much as the number looks on your screen.
It's totally not all of it's guaranteed. So he's going to get an okay payday for the next 2 years.
He'll get paid.
He's going to make, all right, Daniel Jones, maybe a little overpaid, but that's not a horrible contract. And after 2 years, if it doesn't work out, all right, thanks, buddy. See ya. We're going to go on and move on as a franchise. I hope those are the kind of deals we truly do start seeing for the second tier quarterbacks. I think what got a lot of NFL teams in trouble was paying guys that weren't that guy, but they paid him like a number one. The Rams did it with Jared Goff, had to get out after 2 years. The Eagles did it with Carson Wentz. The Cardinals have now done it with Kyler Murray. Those are not true number one quarterbacks. Jared Goff has had a pretty good run in Detroit, but I don't know if you quite put him in that top six or seven category in the NFL. And so I hope teams are learning that lesson of we don't need to overpay for a guy that's a B. We need to pay him B money. And if it means you got to franchise tag him. But for the guys that are truly elite, the recipe is get the deal done and get the deal done now, because you just pointed out the exact reason why. When Mahomes signed his contract, our jaws dropped to the floor. You paid him what? You gave him how much? And now what, 3 years later, he's already underpaid.
Yeah.
Because that's what the quarterback market has done. And so what the league has told us historically, if you have a Herbert, you have a Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow's going to go through it. Handful of guys are going to get paid this offseason. You pay him now, because in 2 years, it's going to look like an affordable contract.
Would it shock you if Herbert got 180, if he did the 180 guarantee, he came under the 200 number? I was wondering if he's the kind of kid
that help the team out kind of contract.
Yeah, I'm not trying to go Brady here and play that game. Because we kept doing it and then it wouldn't happen. But I do wonder, if there is somebody personality-wise that's you give me 160 guaranteed and I can earn up to 200 and it helps on the salary cap? Yeah, I'm from Eugene, Oregon. I'm probably going to live in my parents' house when they pass away. And I'll probably be growing organic vegetables.
He's going to be head coach at Sheldon.
Dude, that's going to be he's going to have this great long career. He's going to randomly move back to Eugene. You'll see him as an old man at Oregon practice. He'll have an organic farm somewhere in Springfield.
Wearing the Bilotti straw hat.
And he'll be an offensive coordinator for S and Giggles at Sheldon. If there's anybody to say don't really care, that's a lot of money. I'll invest half of it anyway and make even more.
He'd be the guy.
It would definitely be that dude. Yeah.
He would be the guy for sure. I, you know how I feel about this. I have always said, for, you know, everybody wants to be Brady and have the ability to go pick players out of a lineup and add them to your roster. But nobody's ever been willing to do what Brady's done his entire career. He's kind of the outlier in that case. And look, it's much easier sitting here not asking for $160 fully guaranteed million dollars to say, why don't you take $30 or $40 million less? But if I were in their shoes, that's, I mean, $160 million fully guaranteed is a damn good deal.
It's a great deal.
Like, that's light. You're done. You're set. It's over. Your life's complete. You don't need to worry about anything for you, your family, your grandchildren. Like, you can't blow that in one lifetime, especially if you're a guy like Justin Herbert. And so, yeah, if it means I can have a starting left tackle and an elite number one wide receiver, I'd be more than willing to do that.
And I just, we'll have to wait and see on it. But if there was somebody to do it, I feel like it could be him, but the report is that the Chargers are going to extend him. The smart thing, and we've said this with so many quarterbacks, you mentioned Dak. I remember doing the show when they said they were going to tag Dak, and you're like, you just cost yourself $20 million. If you're going to extend your rookie, do it now. Like,
get
it if you
done.
Know that's the dude, like Eagles, if you think Hurts really is your guy, lock him up. If you think Chargers, you think Herbert's your guy, lock him up. Don't wait a year. You wait a year, you're going to cost yourself money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say maybe it's still too early, but I don't know. As a non-fan of those franchises, I've watched those. I'd sign them. Get it now.
That's the, I know we're against it. Yeah. Last thing for me on Lamar, like, what's the long-term goal here for Baltimore? Is he your franchise? Like, do you view him as that? Do you think at some point his demands are going to come down?
Let's be honest. I don't think they do.
And
they've signed him if they viewed him as their franchise, their long-term franchise, you'd have signed him. They haven't.
So I hope, you know, if he calls their bluff and plays on the tag this year, maybe you tag him again next year. You're not tagging him three times because then you're paying him like $70 million for one season. They're not doing that. It's a cheap organization, right?
Yep.
So you're just going to tag him for 2 years and let him walk for nothing? You're going to lose him for nothing? I question the long-term strategy there.
We got some NFL stuff to continue with. We got some basketball stuff I want to get to coming up. And Kyle Boone at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The NFL missing the mark on something. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. I felt old yesterday, man.
I feel old every day.
There's so many things that happen that make me feel older and older. And aside from just watching my kids grow and get older, it's moments like yesterday where I turn my television on and I'm watching Andrej Stojakovic, DJ Wagner, and Bronny James play in the McDonald's High School All-American game, whose dads are LeBron James, Peja Stojakovic,
right,
and DeJuan Wagner, who famously scored 100 points in a high school game. And I felt really old.
Yeah, when the kids of people that you watched your entire life start showing up in sports, that's a sign that you're old.
It's not just that they're showing up. They're going to be in college, and most of those kids are going to be in the NBA in 2 years.
In 2 years, yeah.
They'll be in the league.
They'll be one and done, and they'll be playing in the NBA. This is the first step. But like, I've always said this about LeBron. There's a handful of athletes this way. LeBron probably the biggest. Like, I get Brady was the same way, and Peyton Manning, that kind of stuff. But LeBron, at least in basketball circles, like, I've followed his entire career, old enough to remember him playing high school games on ESPN, wearing, you know, covers on his tattoos at St. Vincent, St. Mary's, and Jay Billis calling the game. Like, and that was, I remember thinking this is strange that they're showing a high school game, not following it as closely, and then realizing that this guy is an out of this world talent. He's going to go directly to the NBA. And the fact that you've seen essentially every moment of his NBA career, because he's been around and he's had all these primetime games, he's been in the NBA finals a ton, like, you've seen all of it. And now his kid is 2 years away from the NBA. It's a very, very old feeling.
Do you think Oregon should be, or you think they're still going all in on him?
You should. You want a way to revitalize a fan base and rejuvenate people to go to games? You tell me LeBron James's kid is playing at Oregon, you'll sell out every home game next year.
What's funny about that is he didn't get even, he's a five-star now. He wasn't a five-star till the very end of the year. He, for the most part in his career, was a four-star athlete. And I think he's a good player. I've seen him in person. But, you know, his size isn't overwhelming. You know, he's not obviously got his dad's, his dad might just be a genetic freak. We don't even know what his dad looked like. And so maybe his dad was like 6'3", and Bronny's like the normal height for the family.
For the James gang.
And LeBron's just the one outlier. And that happens all the time. Look at Anthony Davis. But the funny thing about him is, you've said that before, he would get people. You really think people would flock to go to Oregon games?
I do.
Because Bronny James is there?
I do. I 100% do.
Would it make you want to go down?
Yeah, probably. To like a weekend game after football season's over, I'd go check out a Saturday
now,
night
Now, would
game.
You really actually go down? Dude, versus saying like it would make you want to go down.
If it was a big game and I could get, you know, like going down for it, I wouldn't go down on a weekday because for show purposes, I'm not going to a Thursday night game and driving back. That's not happening. But for a Saturday night, like, yeah, I would absolutely do that. Because he's only going to be there for 1 year, and you would want to say that you saw him playing in Oregon.
Oh, you think he's a one and done?
Probably.
Really?
I mean, maybe his game's not there. I don't know. I don't watch enough high school basketball to know that. But I have read some scouting report things that have said that he's really developed this year, and he's come a long way. And I think there was the fear when he initially got into high school that he was just, like, how much of it is the name and how much of it is his game?
I still kind of wonder that, to
right?
be honest
when you're
with
ranking
you.
Him as a prospect. And I've seen a lot of people say that his game's developed. He's a great distributor of the basketball. He's a really solid point guard. I had actually watched like 25 minutes of that last night because I was curious to see Mookie Cook. I'd never seen him play before. And so I was excited to see him, knowing that he was playing on the same team as Bronny. I also learned yesterday, maybe I already knew this, that Mookie Cook played LeBron James in a movie that's coming out this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be on the Peacock Network.
So that's kind of a funny synergy there. And Mookie had a joke in it. Article I was reading about how he's trying to recruit Bronny to join him at Oregon because they're good friends, but it's kind of awkward because he played his dad in a movie and he's like, he knows his dad better than I do, but I had to play him in a movie. So I mean, he was draining threes. LeBron was there sitting courtside. It was a fun night last night.
I don't know how to. I think the tough thing is gauging how good of a player he really is. Like you say, he's a one and done. You know, Jonathan Givony of ESPN, who does the Draft Express stuff. He used to work with Blazers assistant GM Mike Schmitz. He did his like top 10 players of the 2024 class. He had Bronny in his top 10.
Yeah.
And this was before they put Bronny from a 4 to a 5 star. And everybody was like, wait, you have a 4 star player in your top 10 NBA mock draft? And, you know, Givony might just be selling clicks and trying to get, you know, people talking a little bit. But I thought that was interesting because I don't think you benefit from propping a kid up based on his last name.
Sure.
And if you do, like, I think you need to reevaluate what you're doing there because I don't think that's the right thing. But maybe there is a chance he is a one and done. When I watch him play, he didn't strike me as that. But I also, I'm talking a couple games. I saw one on TV and I saw one in person at the LSI. A one and done, you got to be of a certain caliber to be a one and done and truly get picked, unless he doesn't care about if he's drafted in the second round late.
Yeah, the only counter argument I would have, one is, I do think there are a lot of guys that leave after 1 year, they get bad advice, but they end up being first round picks, so who am I to tell them they made a wrong decision? Like, Oregon's had a handful of guys like that just bounce after 1 year and you're like, you're going to the NBA? What? You're Louis King, you're not an NBA player. Where the hell are you going? I haven't heard from that guy in 3 years now. The other part of this, I do wonder, like, putting him in a mock draft, if you're truly evaluating one of the reasons why a team would want to draft him, where does getting LeBron for a year or two rank on that list? Because that's been his like lifelong dream to play with his kid in an NBA uniform. And if that's part of the equation, let's say you're drafting 10th overall and you know that LeBron's going to sign with you if you draft his kid, does that sway your decision of, hey, I'm going to pack my stadium for 2 years having LeBron and his kid play for my franchise?
Well, did Toronto pack the stadium when Akeem signed? Did the Sonics fans flock to see Patrick Ewing?
I think those are slight. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm.
LeBron's going to be like 41 years old.
But he's still playing at a decent level.
Yeah, but what have we seen this year?
There's only one more year. You got to hang on one more year, and then LeBron's coming out.
Yeah, that could be
he's a one and done.
If it's a one and done, you're talking 2 years from now, and I know it may not seem realistic, but like it can happen that fast, especially for a dude.
It can.
That's played high level basketball since he was like 13 years old.
You're not wrong. I'm going to look up because I don't mean it to be disrespectful to Hakeem or Patrick Ewing.
But I'm just saying, like, does a big name that isn't LeBron is obviously bigger name-wise than those guys. But,
yes.
Like, you say, does a team kick around the idea of drafting a player in the
just
top
to get him
10
in the uniform.
Just to see LeBron? That's ridiculous.
I mean, I would like to think it's ridiculous, but NBA teams are really stupid.
Yeah.
His Hakeem's last 2 years in Houston, he was 10 points and six boards, 11 points and seven boards.
I don't even know what the game count was, but I know he was really broken.
44 and 58 total playing, and then his last year in Toronto, he played 61. He averaged 7 points a game.
The Stojakovic kid I'm fascinated to watch, too. His dad was underrated as a player.
Super underrated. He's going to Stanford. I remember he was another guy that he was visiting Oregon on a football weekend, and I saw Peja walking around on the sidelines. I was like, this is really weird. Peja Stojakovic strolling the sidelines of Autzen Stadium.
One of the greatest shooters with the ugliest form I've ever seen in my life.
How it worked, I don't know. It's like Jim Furyk's golf swing.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense.
Very similar to that. Loaded second hour, the NFL whiffing again. This, an interesting note out of basketball. Happened a couple days ago, and Kyle Boone of CBS Sports will join us at the Daily Ticker at 7:30. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 and 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.